사랑이 말이에 오랑이 누이에 투이 호네 오 바브 투어 누크에 타카토네 오테 타야에 아피네 이아 타토 티헤 마우리 오라. This is the Green Desk on 95BFM.
It is indeed, and this week I fill in for Mitch and I talk to the esteemed Dr. Mike Joy, both a scientist, lecturer, academic, an activist, I think even in some circles, or some would label him, about his upcoming talk tomorrow at AUT, which talks about the biophysical limits to our food and energy future. It's quite a loaded title to the talk, so I decided to first ask him what that title means.
I think that climate change is in the news a lot, but it's just one sort of manifestation of limits to growth, and the biophysical bit of it is just that we have reached the limits of, we've kind of extracted everything we can out of this planet to get the population that we have, to have the lifestyles that a proportion of us have, and all of those limits are sort of hitting us at the moment. There's so many things that are running out, we've reached the peak of, and energy is a big part of it, fossil energy. And so I start off talking about how dependent we are on fossil fuel in every way, but especially our food. So, I mean, people are probably aware of the Green Revolution, the sort of massive increase in population that we've had over the last 100 years, but especially the last 50 years. And it was some great technology, but all of that technology required fossil fuels. And really what it was all about was this process that we invented in the early 1900s to convert fossil fuels into nitrogen fertilizer, or using fossil fuels to take it out of the atmosphere. And so now we create more artificial nitrogen to grow food than any natural system. So we are totally dependent on fossil fuel for our food. Probably something in the vicinity of 70 to 80% of our food comes from fossil fuels. We're basically eating the past, and that past is now catching up on us because we have a huge population and we are increasingly unable to either access the fossil fuels or, because of climate change, use the fossil fuels.
Do you think the majority of New Zealanders are aware of our reliance on fossil fuels within kind of food?
No, I don't think we have. Most New Zealanders or most global citizens have any idea, because all we've known in our lifetimes and the lifetimes of our parents and grandparents is this massive amount of energy available. So we just think it's normal, it's part of life.
Why do you think we accept that, or why do you think that is the way it is?
Well, we just are not aware of it, because it's all we see around us. And, you know, I mean, a good example is many New Zealanders sort of smugly think that we are fine because, you know, 80% of our energy comes from renewable sources, you know, hydro and geothermal. But most people do not realise that that's about 20% of our energy use. When you include embodied energy, then 82% of our energy comes from fossil fuels. So the 80% is 80% of 18%, which is a tiny part of our total energy use. And so the things that we take for granted, the huge buildings, the cars, the roads, the infrastructure that we take for granted, all of it comes from fossil fuels, or almost all of it. And the other part of that is that people assume, or many people assume, that we have more renewable energy than before, but that's completely wrong as well. We actually have less renewable energy as proportion of all our total energy use than at any time in our history, and it's just getting less and less. Where we every day we use more and more fossil fuels, and we're increasing, you know, wind turbines and solar panels and that kind of thing, but nowhere near as fast as we're increasing our overall energy use.
So what would you say the future of food and energy is?
The future of food, well, I mean, the reality is that a huge amount of the energy that goes into our food production goes into feed animals, and a particularly wasteful and inefficient way of producing protein. So the first step to being able to support anything like the population we have without that energy coming in is that we're going to have to reduce animals in our diets in a really, really big way.
I was doing a bit of background reading about your past and like about your work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of media outlets seem to describe you as a feisty environmentalist or some form of radicalist or fierce.
Yep, yep.
Do you think that's a fair reputation, or do you think that your work around this, like, to me it seems perfectly rational behavior and smart and responsible to the crisis we now are in? Do you think perhaps it is an issue that people that produce work like you are seen as feisty or fierce?
Yeah, I mean, what they're trying to do is pull me down. So, you know, I mean, huge money is made from, you know, and it's a real threat to kind of business as we know it, is the realization of people that we can't keep growing like we are. And so there's huge, you know, money invested interests in making sure that people are not aware of reality, so that they'll keep on consuming and flying around the world and doing all the other things that have a major impact on the planet. So there's you know, I'm just, you know, one of a handful, really, of a really small number of people who are trying to stand up and point out this reality. And we're up against, you know, armies of PR and comms people. I mean, just, you know, the main area that I work in with freshwater in New Zealand, I mean, there I'm up against the agriculture industry, fertiliser industry, even in local body and local and central government, where they're sort of charged with looking after the environment and the economy, so the economy comes first. And they spend more and more money every day on spin and comms and telling a, you know, painting a rosy picture of reality, because they're reporting on themselves. And in the case of the industry, they make their money from selling more of their products. And so you get, you know, you get the situation I've been pointing out in New Zealand, where farmers can make a lot more money and be better off and have happier lifestyles with way less inputs. But they just don't get that message. They keep getting told to produce more and to buy more of the fertilizer and industrialize their farming systems more and more to produce more volume for the likes of Fonterra and to buy more products from the fertilizer company. So, you know, there's a massive incentive to do more, to spend more, and there's very little money or incentive to do less. And so getting the message across that we need to do a lot less is difficult. And of course, we open ourselves up to being attacked and shut down for getting that truth out.
Certainly. Earlier this year, you co-authored a article or piece of writing titled "Despite Its Green Image, New Zealand Has the World's Highest Proportion of Species at Risk," and it kind of breaks down a whole heap of facts about the New Zealand environment that I'm sure a lot of the listeners aren't aware about. I would recommend that they would check it out if they have the time. Do you think this disillusion with New Zealand's environment, that we have this clean, green, supposed pure 100% image that you were talking about people paying to protect, do you think that relationship is quite dangerous in how we move forward with the environment?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, even from just a marketing point of view, you know, tourism and dairy are, you know, are two of our really big earners, and they kind of overseas funds, and they are at odds, because, you know, the intensive farming is destroying the environment. And you know, if the truth ever got out about it, the reality of the environment here, then, you know, we would lose that clean green image and we would never get it back again. But I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's you know, what footballers would call an own goal. It's an own goal for the industry, for the farming industry, because the biggest value add that they can put to their produce is the clean green image. I mean, as the rest of the world gets more and more degraded, people will pay more and more for products coming, you know, that they can trust from a clean green country, and there's the same, you know, producers and that would profit and gain from that are the same ones that are destroying that reality. So, you know, it is a real dilemma, and it's really dangerous for us to be going down this pathway where we just keep industrializing and doing more and more damage as we go ahead.
What would you, I mean, it's not quite an impossible question, there are a lot of solutions, but What would you like to see as the key main fixes moving forward in the agricultural industry and with freshwater as well? You've touched upon moving towards less meat. What other ways do you see as beneficial for Aotearoa to implement in order to kind of regenerate this clean green image?
Well, I mean, it's not going to be a choice much longer. I mean, I don't say, you know, I'm not saying that people should eat less meat for any other reason than that's the reality of that's where most of the damage comes from. And if we want to have a future, then we're going to have to eat less meat of it, you know, at least meat. So it's not about a want, it's about an inevitable reality. But the kind of changes that we need to do is to stop using fossil fuel derived fertilizers and farm more naturally, which can be called lots of names, but the buzzword at the moment is regenerative farming, which is you know, a much more it's a way of making food that doesn't have impacts on the planet, and it's the only way that we can survive into the future is to do that kind of farming. So at the moment we're the biggest importer in the world of palm kernel. So we've, you know, another thing that intensifies our farming. So fossil fuel derived fertilizers plus palm kernel put together to make industrial farming that has huge impacts on our environment. So very, very simply, get rid of those things and farm to suit the land and to suit the rainfall and to suit the fertility of the soils, and then much more profit for farmers in that process, and way less impacts on the environment, and that's the future we will either, you know, sort of voluntarily go into, or it's the future that we'll be forced into if we don't get onto it. And if we get forced into it, it'll be really messy and really, really damaging. But if we manage our way into it, we'll be able to survive and thrive.
I've got one last question. That's if the listeners could remember three things about the New Zealand environment and or about biodiversity in Aotearoa, what would you like those three things to be?
Well, I think that the reality is that we're at a crisis point when it comes to biodiversity and ecosystem health in New Zealand. And the drivers of that are industrial intensive farming, fossil fuel based farming, and so and what we do, you know, as humans, you know, the reliance we have on fossil fuels. So we have to cut back the impact and the intensity of energy in our lifestyles and our food production to have any kind of hope of a future.
That was the Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Mauri Ora.